And so then, dear friends, in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we think we're doing all right, don't we? We think we're pretty good and that we don't really need to change. Well, and if we do need to change, it's just a couple of minor things like we need to lose a couple of pounds. Maybe we need to change a couple of things in our wardrobe. But the reality is that we all need serious and drastic change. We need to be made new. But the struggle that we have is that we cannot change. We cannot change those things which we need to change. We cannot remove that selfishness that's in our hearts. We cannot stop looking at people and immediately judging them, putting them into our own little categories as we see fit. We cannot stop that lust that's in our hearts. We cannot get away from that greed which tells us that we need more and more and more. We see so many people out there who have just simply given up. They say, whatever, I can't change. This is just who I am. Their identities then change to match their faults. And then they become defined by those faults. And then that's all anyone else ever sees of them is those faults. As we look at our gospel lesson today, look at the Pharisees and what they're saying. This man, Jesus, sits and eats with sinners. They cannot see these people as anything but the unrighteous, as anything but sinners. Those are tax collectors. Those are traitors to our own people who now work for Rome, stealing our money to give to this foreign government. These people here, they're whores, they're liars, they're thieves. They're worthless people. All they do is sin. And that's all they will ever be. But our Lord Jesus sits and eats with them because he sees so much more. He sees each one of them as this precious piece of God's creation in need of redemption and change and life and a new heart. So yes, he sits and eats with sinners. We read elsewhere in Scripture, the doctor doesn't come for the healthy, he's here for the sick. The Son of Man is here for the sinners, here to save them and redeem them, to bring them back into the flock. That image from Ezekiel where all these sheep are gathered back together. The image throughout the Old Testament of all nations being gathered together. This is Jesus laying the foundation, the groundwork for that, to bring these people back who are in desperate need. That's why they're there with him. He sees their hearts and their desire to be made new. And while these Pharisees would give these people absolutely nothing, we see Jesus give them everything. And in a tragic tale of betrayal and false accusations, Jesus is given over to the Romans to be crucified. He is nailed to a cross. He suffers pain and anguish, and he dies. And as we look at this story, how could this be anything but tragedy? What could this possibly do to bring people back to God? How does this save people? And it is because Jesus on the cross becomes the most hated thing of all time. And he suffers the complete fullness of God's wrath so that we don't have to. Jesus is here suffering so that we will not. He takes on all sin of all people of all time. Those people who he sat and ate with, the people like us who haven't seen him face to face. He has removed this and put it to death because that's how you solve this problem of sin. You have to kill it. But unfortunately, we see that that means that our Lord Jesus is killed. But also with this problem of sin is this problem of death. And with Jesus now in the grave, how are we going to find a solution to that? Well, we get our answer on Easter morning when he rises from the grave, when he leaves that tomb empty. He patiently and lovingly folds the burial cloths and walks out, never to enter it ever again. And through all of this, sin is defeated, death is defeated, and people are saved. And then from this comes change. A change which we can't bring about on our own. God freely gives to us. And we receive it in so many ways. God works through His blessed Holy Spirit to find us in all of those little nooks and crannies of the world, either bringing us His words, some sort of life experience. Shoot, maybe the heavens themselves opened up and God spoke to somebody. Maybe it was just some failure of a righteous person splashing some water on somebody's head. And in this wonderful little act of baptism, there's the change. All of these things bringing people this change of heart that they need, bringing them around to being God's people more and more and more, the lost being found. But those of us who have been in this for a while know that while Christ has won the victory, the battle still wages on. We still suffer from sin, we still suffer from death, and we still must deal with this reality. And it's through these things that we realize and that we see out in this world that then we gather together as God's people, as we gather together in church to hear His word, to be made new, to be refreshed, to receive the forgiveness of our sins, to gather together in gifts, whatever they might be, to then be made new and get that strength that we need to continue to fight the fight of faith. And that's where Paul's letter to Timothy comes in today. Now, Paul's a mentor of Timothy, where he's growing him and leading him so that he might be a leader of the church. We see in the reading today that the desire here is that all the believers would have this pure heart, this good conscience, this sincere faith. And I think you might get tired of me saying it. I always ask, well, why and how? How does this happen then? Well, first, it's that gospel story that we all hear regularly, where we have been inserted into that story with Christ, where He goes to the cross for us, where He rises from the grave for us, and this is our gospel story. This is our foundation of our faith, where then we are welcomed as the lost into the family of God. But then from that comes a faithful understanding of God's truth, found in God's word, knowing who He is and what He has done, what He will be doing, and how we are then to live this life. And then finally comes action, where we actually live this gospel message we have received. Paul warns Timothy about those who don't do that, who are just getting this understanding of the truth and getting into these vain discussions that lead nowhere. They're worthless. They're just sort of showing everybody else how great they are, patting themselves on the back. But then Paul moves over into the law, gives some serious warnings about the action then that we're called to live. He lists many sins, some of which make us extremely nervous to even hear about. But the strange reality is that to have that pure heart, that good conscience, that sincere faith, you kind of have to know these things in order to know how to avoid them. You don't really know the light very well unless you have seen the darkness. You don't really know the truth until you have seen what is false. It's this weird reality that we have to know and be able to identify these things so that we can live pure lives. And so as we reflect on change, as we reflect on all of the things that we hear in these readings today, Paul is the guy to listen to when we are reflecting on change. He is the one who shows us what change looks like. He tells us that he is the foremost sinner. We hear elsewhere that he calls himself the chief of sinners. He was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent opponent, acting in ignorance. He lists all of these sins that make us blush, but then at the end of it, puts himself right in that list, showing that he is no better than any of these other people. And then he declares how he received mercy from God so that God might display his patience and his power through Paul. And then this power we see declared through the freedom and salvation that sinners receive from God. This gift that Paul himself so often declares, that this gift that he was given, God lifted him up to be probably the greatest missionary of our church. And this was his job, to go through this change and to declare this freedom and mercy that he himself has experienced firsthand. And so we need to take a page out of Paul's book, and not literally, don't start ripping up the pew Bibles, but we need to do what Paul does, to reflect on ourselves very seriously, to realize that we all were lost sinners, to realize and understand and know that we still struggle with sin that's trying to pull us back into darkness. We need to insert ourselves into that list just like Paul did, knowing that we are those who strike our fathers and mothers. We are murderers. We are sexually immoral. We are those who practice homosexuality. We are those who enslave. We are those who lie. We are those who live contrary to the truth of God. And you might see that list and hear that list and think, well, hold on. I'm not a murderer. I have never enslaved anybody. But yet again, following Paul's example, we place ourselves into that list, declaring that we are the chief of sinners, knowing that any and all sin are contrary to the law of God, and we are just as guilty, if not the most guilty. But then jumping right in to that mercy that we have received. Because Christ came for one purpose, and that was to save sinners. And again, taking a page from Paul, we are the foremost of sinners in need of this salvation. The problem of the Pharisees in our gospel lesson is that they separated themselves from those sinners. And we can't fall into that same trap. We have to understand that we are no better. We cannot separate ourselves from the sinners out there, but recognize that we struggle with it too, that we are no better, but yet we get to show how Christ has given us a new and pure heart. The change that he has given to us, that we now get to sit and eat with sinners and bring to them the truth of the gospel. We cannot fall into the trap of sitting and having these vain conversations, and quite honestly being vain ourselves, where we sit in church and pat ourselves on the back and we mark off all the good attendance that we have, while millions of people out there are dying without knowing the truth of the gospel. God has given us unreal change and a beautiful new life. He has given us purity that we could never earn or find ourselves. And it is in this that now we are called to live, in and among the impure, showing them the new life that God has given us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.